Well, it is certainly good to see so many out with us that weren't able to be here last week, and good to have our visitors who are here with us. We're glad to have each one of you. I want to thank you on behalf of my family for your prayers for my dad and our family and the cards you've sent. He's enjoyed it, getting the cards, not being in the hospital, of course. We're very thankful for all that. He's still got a ways to go, so they're not talking discharge date anytime soon. Once his kidney's leveled out, though, he'll get to go home. And so we're just kind of a wait and see on that. So we're appreciative for your prayers on that. Marvin mentioned I'll be leaving this afternoon, going to Alabama. Looking forward to camp. Enjoy it every year, getting to see different brethren that teach and work as counselors with it, and getting to see some of the students. I got my cabin list yesterday, and one of them, I think, has been in my cabin every year I've been a counselor. So it's good to see familiar faces and meet new people. But it's going to be a busy week. I get back Friday night, and Saturday morning I get up and drive to Tullahoma to teach in their lectureship this Saturday that they're having on a few different books of the Bible. So I'll be there this Saturday, and then next Saturday I'll be in West Tennessee as one of the leaders in a congregational annual singing out there. So looking forward to all that, just a busy time, as is normal, I guess. If you have an opportunity, though, I encourage you, I'm not going to get to, with my time, get to go to Columbia Friday night. I have been to that singing once or twice at Jackson Heights, and both times there were over 500 people there for the singing. And it was a beautiful singing. We would take a couple carloads from West Tennessee and drive over. It's just a beautiful singing. And if you have an opportunity, I greatly encourage you to make the trip down there Friday night. We're in 2 Kings 18 this morning, but we are not using this as a Bible character. We're rather pulling out a phrase about Hezekiah and thinking about that idea instead. The same could be said of his descendant Josiah. Both of these men ascended to the throne at young ages. Now, Josiah was considerably younger than Hezekiah, but if you notice Hezekiah in verse 2, it says he's 25 years old when he begins to reign. He's still a young man when he begins to reign. But I want you to notice, verse 5, it says, "He trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel, so that after him there was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor among all those who were before him." We've talked about Josiah and what a great king he was, even from a young age. But I want you to notice how the Scriptures describe Hezekiah. There's been none found like him before or after. That includes Josiah. So if you think about how good of a king Josiah was, put Hezekiah above it. We're not going to take the time to look at his life this morning. We will eventually. Hezekiah is a wonderful example. He made mistakes. But the important part is in verse 6. "For he clung to the Lord." Your version may say, "held fast." The idea there is sticking together, but not like glue where you can eventually peel it off. The idea is, I think, more about water. If you think about water, you can try to separate water by putting a divider in it, but as soon as you pull out the divider, it goes right back together as if nothing happened. But when you get down to a scientific level of water, if you understand enough to know that there are H2O, that's two hydrogens with one oxygen, in order for that to be divided, some process has to be initiated. And if you go down even further into the atom level, if you want to split an atom, you have to do it by some magnificent force. It doesn't just happen. That's the idea of clinging. That's the idea that's positioned here, is that it takes something great to separate it. Hezekiah clung to the Lord. He did not depart from following Him. Our lesson this morning is entitled, if you read the bulletin, "Do Not Depart." If you read the bulletin, Brandon's title is wrong tonight because I didn't catch it. So, correct identify to identity in your bulletin. But when you're talking about this, "Do not depart." Hezekiah did not depart from following God. And you notice verse 7 what the benefits were of that. "And the Lord was with him wherever he went, he prospered." There is great strength in clinging to the Lord. There is a great idea in not departing from God. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. I think we talk about many issues all the time, matters of doctrine, matters of opinion, and they're all important, but I think one of the biggest problems we have is people simply do not want to cling to God. People simply are looking for reasons to depart from God, whether it be for a day, or two, or three, maybe a week, maybe a month, maybe I'll spend a year doing what I want to and I'll eventually do right. Brethren, there's God's wrath that we must face if we depart from the living God. Over in Hebrews chapter 3. In Hebrews chapter 3, read with me, starting in verse 8. Do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me by testing me, and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore I was angry with this generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They did not know my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brethren, that there not be any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away, falling away, departing from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is so called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sins. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. Do you notice the Hebrew writer is using the exact same idea as over in Hezekiah, when it's talking about Hezekiah? You have this idea of not falling away. And in verse 4, holding fast, or 14, holding fast, clinging. They're part of each other. If you'll hold fast to the Lord, then you will not depart from God. But if you're not willing to hold fast to Him, then you're in danger of departing from God. The Bible refers to people such as Enoch in Genesis chapter 5, verse 22, about someone who was with God, who walked with God. And as we can be called the same in verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 3. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession. Partakers of the heavenly calling. Christians are those who are with God. But being away from God is going astray. As Isaiah points out in Isaiah 53 and verse 6, as all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way. The only way we can be brought back to God is to turn back. The only way we can stop from departing from God is to cling to Him. They're two opposites, so you've got to choose one or the other. That's by repenting of those things that have caused us to depart, that we get caught up in doing. Paul says before Agrippa in Acts chapter 26 and verse 20, but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19, nevertheless the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows who are His, let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Sin has always been what causes separation from God. That's what sin is at its core, is separation from God, which is departion from God, departing from Him. Isaiah 59 and verse 2 says, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4 says, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. What we want to do in this lesson is we want to recognize the danger of departing, what that actually entails, and then maybe try to find some ways that we can keep ourselves from departing. The danger of departing, though, first off, is those that are in the kingdom of God who are departing from Him will be gathered out. In John chapter 3 and verse 5, Jesus says, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 41 and 42, Jesus says, the Son of Man will send out His angels, and they will gather out of His kingdom all the things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing or weeping and gnashing of teeth. When there is danger in departing because those that simply forget about God. There are those that simply forget about God. And as a result, they will be lost. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 32 says, "Can a virgin forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number." God's talking about who? His children. It rings true today. There are still children of God who have forgotten Him days without number. The ninth psalm in verse 17 says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." God tells us that it would have been better if we had never known the truth concerning Jesus than to turn away from it. Over in 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. Peter writes, "For if after they have escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and are overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would be better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn away from the holy commandment handed on to them. It has happened to them according to the true proverb, 'A dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow, after washing, returns to wallowing in the mire.'" Brethren, it would have been better for us to have never known the truth than to know it and depart from God. Because those consequences are dangerous. There are many that will depart from the faith and have departed from the faith because the teaching of the world has grabbed them at its core. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, Paul says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and the doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron." Why do so many depart from the faith and turn to denominations? Turn to people who are teaching what man wants and not what God wants? Well, simply, we can say it's a lack of Bible study. It's a lack of caring. Care more about what people think and what the people want than what our own God wants. There is danger in departing. It is a fact. It is a fact that we can fall from grace. It is a fact, and that's why we must recognize how serious it is to ensure that we follow the directions of God. Don't take my word for it, though. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4, Paul says, "You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen by grace." Or from grace, excuse me. It is a fact that we can fall from grace. Romans chapter 11 and verse 22 doesn't say it in those words, but Paul says this, "Therefore consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fail severity, but towards you goodness, if you continue in His goodness, otherwise you will be cut off." It is a fact that you can be in a state of a good relationship with God and fall from it. And that has eternal repercussions. Think about Israel. They fell from grace many times. And we can fall, yet God gives us the chance to overcome it. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Starting in verse 11. "Now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come." Who are we talking about here? We're talking about Israel, the children of God under the old law, and how they time and time and time again departed from God. Now continue with me. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he does not fall. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you were able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. The temptations we face today are no different than those from Israel. But there is a way to overcome it, and that's through God. Israel fell from grace many times, but you can get back up. And you can strive to do right. And you can, when temptation comes, choose rather to fall than to use God to overcome. There's danger in departing because God shows no partiality. Any who fall are equal to all those others. Any who do not obey God are responsible for only themselves. There is danger in departing because God's punishment is equal to all. Over in Ezekiel chapter 18, read with me starting in verse 21. Ezekiel 18, verses 21 through 25. But if the wicked man turns from all his sins which he has committed, and observes all my statutes and practices justice and righteousness, he shall surely live, he shall not die. All his transgressions which he has committed will not be remembered against him because of his righteousness which he has practiced. He will live. Do I have any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord, rather than that he should turn from his ways and live? But when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness, commits iniquity, and does according to all the abominations that a wicked man does, will he live? All his righteous deeds which he has done will not be remembered for his treachery when he has committed, and his sin which he has committed, for them he will die. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not right. Hear now, O house of Israel, is my way not right? Is it not your ways that are not right? How many times have you heard someone say, especially at a funeral, they were such a good person, surely they're in heaven? Read that again, verse 24. Middle of the verse. All his righteous deeds which he has done will not be remembered for his treachery which he has committed and his sin which he has committed. For them he will die. God shows no partiality. It doesn't matter if you have done a million good deeds in the name of God. If you depart from him, you will surely die. There is no partiality. Well, he did so many good for 20 years, the last 10 don't count. There is no partiality. So what are reasons then that people depart from God? There is danger in departing from God. What are the reasons? I need to understand the reasons that one would depart from God, that I might not find myself there. Well, first of all, we could say it's the influence of religious leaders. Preachers, even in the Lord's church. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14, Paul says that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. The Galatian brethren had this problem. They were influenced by others. Look over in Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, starting in verse 6. I am amazed that you were so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you. and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you have received, he is to be accursed. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. For I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor I was taught it, but I received it through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Any other gospel has no place. Yet so many will be led away by false doctrine. Israel had this problem. Isaiah 9 and verse 16, Isaiah says, "For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and those who are led by them are destroyed." Another reason that people depart from God is because they're too self-confident. Clinging to God, that idea of it would take something massive to separate, means you are dependent upon God, not independent apart from Him. Too many people are self-confident that they can do it on their own. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 26. "He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered." How foolish can we be to trust in ourselves and leave God out of our life decisions? This was Peter's problem over in Luke chapter 22. In Luke chapter 22, in verse 31 through 34, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when you have turned again, strengthen your brethren." But he said to him, "Lord, with you I am ready to go both to prison and to death." Verse 34. And he said, "I say to you, Peter, the rooster will not crow today until you have denied me three times that you will know me." Do you deny three times that you will know me? Peter was too self-confident. "I can do it, Christ." No, you can't. And no, you won't. Many people say, "I love Christ." And yet if they didn't say it, you wouldn't know it any other way. Because they don't resemble it in the life they live. There's reasons that people depart from God. And sadly, even in the Lord's church, it is due to a lack of training. We're going to use a couple verses that symbolize the family. But remember, the church is a family and we have the same rules and the same items we need to be doing. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old he will not depart from it." Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Both of those are two perfect verses that we should be using in our own families. But brethren, they ought to be symbolic of the Lord's church as well. "Train up a child in the way in which he should go, and when he is old he will not depart from it." Why don't we use that same admonition to new believers? Those who are weak in the faith. "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Are we providing training and admonition of the Lord to those who are in need of it in the Lord's church? Those who are weak in the faith, those who are new to Christ, those who have struggles, because many depart simply because they don't have the training to know the difference. Some depart, though, as is mentioned in the bulletin, so we won't really take a lot of time on it, for the love of the world. It's a force that, even as we're moving forward, will strive to move us backward as much as possible. The love of the world and the love of God simply don't mix. 1 John chapter 2. Demas was an example of it. Demas is not used in the bulletin, so we will take note of that. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. Paul says, "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica." Our reflection of our faith in God is in our church attendance. Oh, it's not only there. It's in our prayers. It's in our time we spend with Christians outside of the building. It's in our time we spend in devotion to God. But let me tell you, our reflection of our faith in God is most definitely in our church attendance. Because if we won't take the time to come and worship God, who created all things, how much faith do we really have in Him? How close are we to God? When we are here, it's not because of worldly things. It is a reflection of our faith towards God. Those are reasons why people depart from God. You want to know how to keep from departing from God? Don't do those things. Strive to serve God. Strive to not be a friend of the world. You do the opposite of that, and that's how you can keep from departing from God. But I would be remiss to not point out a few other verses that show what the results are when we depart from God. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, again. The Hebrew writer is quoting about God. And what God has said, that's recorded here, is talking about the children of Israel and how they were kept out of the land of Canaan because they departed from Him. Verses 10 and 11, "Therefore I was angry with that generation, and they said, 'They always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways.' So I swore in my wrath, 'They shall not enter my rest.'" The children of Israel were looking for the promised land. And those who had departed from God wandered in those wilderness 40 years and would not see it and would not enter into His rest. We, as children of God today, are searching for the promised land. But we won't find it on this earth. No, it comes when this life is over. It's a place called heaven. And if we depart from God, the same holds true. "They shall not enter my rest." Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1 says, "Therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it." Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 11, "Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience." And Luke chapter 13, verses 27 and 28, "But He will say, 'I do not know you. Where are you from? Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity.' There will be weeping and the gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets of the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of God, and yourselves thrust out." Departing from God, which is meaning we practice sin, because that is separation from God, thrust us out and does not allow us to enter heaven. It's very easy to drift away from God. When you think about the idea of clinging to God, there's a tight bond that has to be there. If it's not there, then it becomes very easy to go away from Him. That bond gets strengthened by prayer, devotion, singing, worshiping, studying, reading, spending time with our brethren. That all strengthens that bond. But if the bond is weak, it's very easy to depart from God. And sadly enough, a gradual fall, where we just take maybe a millimeter of a step back, and we gradually depart from God, is the hardest, because we don't realize it. We don't realize we're sliding back until it's way too late. We must we must guard ourselves against departing from the living God. Do not depart. There is danger in it. We need to rally around God's message, just as the children of Israel did long ago under Hezekiah and even under his great-grandson, Josiah. Be determined to do His will, knowing that eternal destiny depends on it. That's the point of this lesson. If you're here this morning, I hope this has encouraged you not to depart from God. It sounds as if I'm, you know, the teacher that's pointing the finger and like, don't you do this, don't you do this. Now, this is something we all have to be wary of. We talk about many problems in the Lord's church all the time. But one of the ones we fail to recognize is the gradual departation from God, where we end up in one place and He's in another. And that's not where we ever need to find ourselves. If you're here this morning and you have drifted apart from God and you need to make your life right, we would love to help you in any way we can. Pray for you, encourage you. If you need to make something known, if you need to ask for God's repentance, we'll be glad to help you in any way we can. But you may be here this morning and have never obeyed the gospel. Well, let me tell you, that's just as dangerous as departing from God because you have no relationship with Him. And those who have no relationship with God are the same as those who have departed from Him. Depart from me, I never knew you. Only those who know God and cling to Him and try to live their lives right will be the ones who will receive entrance into the promised land. If you're here this morning and we can help you in any way, we invite you to make your request made known. Come down to the front now as we stand and as we sing the song that's been selected.